where we draw the line. Right here, right now, right here.
School's out.
Right now, right here.
School's
right
out.
Right here.
Time is running, I'm passing, I'm running.
No more coal, no more oil, keep the carbon in the soil. No more coal, no more oil, keep the carbon in the soil.
You're listening to the School's Out, radio broadcast by school-aged teenagers. School's Out wants to put voices of young people concerned about climate change on radio. We'll interview young people involved in campaigns aiming to make governments declare a climate emergency. Recently, world leaders and media jocks have made personal attacks on Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old leader of the School Strike movement aiming to prevent climate change. Greta's response to these personal attacks on her was wise. She pointed out that politicians criticizing her personally means that they are weak when it comes to responding with scientific evidence. The leaders and right-wing media target Greta personally because they know they can't attack the science on climate change, which is conclusive and verified by thousands of peer-led scientist reviews.
The world is waking up, and change is coming whether you like it or not.
Next on School's Out, we're going to play an advisory piece for any teens out there who have witnessed middle-aged men picking on teens who are environmentalists. This piece of audio focuses on the attacks on Greta Thunberg by many middle-aged men in recent months.
Hi, I'm a middle-aged man with an embarrassing problem. I get irrationally angry at a Swedish girl who wants to save the planet. Luckily, there's now a number I can call.
Hello, you've called the Greta Thunberg helpline.
If you're a grown adult who needs to yell at a child for some reason, the Greta Thunberg helpline is here to tolerate you.
She's just fueling needless anxiety. She's making the end of the world sound like it's the end of the world.
This whole charade's gone too far. Now I see she's speaking in front of a mock UN.
So that was the real UN.
So before you go full caps lock in an article comments section, let our expert counsellors assess your situation.
Here is the climate crisis news.
The oceans that surround Australia, particularly from the western to northern parts of Australia, have seen a steady increase in temperature over December. University of Western Australia Oceanography Professor Karitha Patarachi said in an interview with the ABC, quote, "Particularly in the last 2 weeks or so, the ocean temperatures have been increasing. They're about 2 degrees warmer than what normally would be in December," end quote. Furthermore, many fish have been found killed in recent weeks. Research that has been conducted by the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development has confirmed that the marine wildlife that was killed was because of the increase in temperature.
Right now is where we draw the line. Right here, right now, right here, right now.
I want you to act as if the house was on fire. A great number of politicians have told me that panic never leads to anything good. And I agree, to panic unless you have to is a terrible idea. But when your house is on fire and you want to keep your house from burning to the ground, then that does require some level of panic. We are in the midst of the sixth mass extinction, and the extinction rate is up to 10,000 times faster than what is considered normal, with up to 200 species becoming extinct every single day. Erosion of fertile topsoil, deforestation of our great forests, toxic air pollution, loss of insects and wildlife, acidification of our oceans. These are all disastrous trends being accelerated by a way of life that we, here in our financially fortunate part of the world, see as our right to simply carry on. If our house was falling apart, our leaders wouldn't go on like you do today. You would change almost every part of your behavior, as you do in an emergency. If our house was falling apart, you wouldn't hold 3 emergency Brexit summits and no emergency summit regarding the breakdown of the climate and environment. People like me are not allowed to vote. nor are we in a position to shape the decisions of business, politics, engineering, media, education, or science, because the time it takes for us to educate ourselves to do that simply does no longer exist. And that is why millions of children are taking it to the streets, school striking for the climate to create attention for the climate crisis. You need to listen to us, we who cannot vote. You need to vote for us, for your children and grandchildren. What we are doing now can soon no longer be undone. And I have read that some parties do not even want me standing here today because they so desperately do not want to talk about climate breakdown. Your best is no longer good enough. We must all do the seemingly impossible. And it's okay if you refuse to listen to me. I am, after all, just a 16-year-old schoolgirl from Sweden. But you cannot ignore the scientists, or the science, or the millions of school-striking children who are school-striking for the right to a future. I beg you, please do not fail on this.
The world is waking up. And change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Here is the climate crisis news.
Bushfires in New South Wales and Queensland have emitted massive amounts of CO2 into the atmosphere since August. In 2018, Australia's entire greenhouse gas footprint was 532 million tonnes of carbon dioxide. Yet, the bushfires alone have amounted to at least 250 million tonnes of carbon dioxide. That is equivalent to almost half of Australia's annual greenhouse gas emissions. Furthermore, while the regrowth of trees usually reabsorbs the carbon dioxide, Professor David Bowman, a fire ecologist at the University of Tasmania, said that, quote, ongoing drought combined with climate change meant conditions were not normal, end quote. This is because, quote, drought-stressed trees recover less well, and under climate change, tree growth may be slow and fires more frequent, end quote.
Right now is where we draw the line. Right here, right now.
Schools out went to one of the climate change protest rallies. Let's hear some of the recordings from the valley.
I don't understand why there are world leaders that are not doing anything.
Sea levels are rising, and so are we. Sea levels are rising, and so are we. Stop denying the earth is dying. Stop denying the earth is dying. Stop.
Schools Out asked teens at the rally what their concerns were about climate change. Here are some of their responses.
What are your main concerns around climate change?
I think the biggest concern that I have is the inaction that people are taking. Mm. It's good to see people getting out and doing some things, but I think overall we really need to take some bigger steps.
I guess my main concern would be where we're headed and where our governments and different systems are pushing us towards. My main concerns would probably be, like, you know, digging up all the coal and different things that we can do more renewable in our constant production of things when we already have enough, I think, already here, and we don't have enough renewable and, yeah, recycled things that we're doing.
People know the facts. The facts are out there, but people are pretending not to know or pretending they're doing enough, but they're really not. There's this weird inaction and, like, pretending to be inaction.
Yeah, or a choice to ignore. And I think it's pretty clear when we see the responses from the environment, if we look at what's happening not only in our own country, but globally, that there needs to be an action and to take better care. There's mass pollution, there's an overuse of gas and burning of fuels, which is crippling our environment, not to mention what's happening to the oceans and the sea life.
Definitely all the single-use plastic that we're using.
Yeah.
Basically, the government and higher social echelons' lack of respect for the younger generation's opinion and ability to formulate decisions in relevance to climate change, and the fact that the world is literally dying.
My concern is that it'll get to a place where it can't be reversed, but I believe that the current focus, the disregard the government and corporations and whatever, you know, however the society is run, the disregard will lead to tragedy.
I suppose there's, like, a lot of, like, a polarised debate about how we should proceed, and the debate sort of means that we end up in a place of inaction. And so I guess what we're sort of marching for today is to have any action, any positive policy towards addressing sort of the ecological disaster that's impending.
Main concern is that politicians and the important people in Australia aren't looking at it closely enough. And I think these people are proving that. Well, I feel like in Melbourne, we're not feeling the effects of climate change. We don't get to feel it, but there's those countries that are like Indonesia and like where the trees are being cut down and they're like
palm oil.
And for palm oil, even though we're not feeling the effects of it, I feel like, I don't know how to say it.
No, in the in a human lifespan, somewhere in Switzerland, all the, remember all the ice has melted. It's changed from a deep blue to like a really ice cream texture and colour.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. So I think it's just like, even though I think that that's a lot of people who are ignoring it, is because they're in some areas where it's like they don't feel the effects, where we have to be more empathetic to the other countries. We have to think about other countries, because even though we're not feeling it, they are. And
it's going to happen to us.
Yeah,
and we don't do
it. We have to take
it.
Action. Yeah.
I think it's bad that the weather patterns are going wrong, and in general that climate change is happening.
The lack of certainty in the future. The doubt that things will actually stay the same. Like, you know, there's going to be a lack of food for people. There'll be climate refugees. You're already losing a lot of endangered species, like animals in general. No one is really fully aware of the impact that it is going to have and how it is going to affect everyone, even if they don't think it will.
Well, my number one concern would be the economic impacts, especially how it's going to affect farming and agriculture, because that will lead to famine and that just creates all these other issues, I think. And I think that's something that the government hasn't really considered.
It's pretty bad. I kind of want to, you know, let our great-great-great-grandchildren, like, live. In a planet that's not like a desert, you know?
That sounds pretty good, yeah.
It's just worrying that the idea of climate change is creating an expiry date for the planet. I think the idea of trying to elongate that for as long as possible seems like a good idea.
That we're not going to do anything and it's going to be too late by the time we just start taking some actual action and have some political action, because as much as we can get out and tell them what we want them to do today, it's going to take some political will from our politicians, and if that doesn't happen, then we're a bit cooked.
You know, it's really hard. We can get out here and do what we can, but as you said, you'd really need some real-life policies and changes in legislation for things to actually, like, you know, the bottom-up is trying to do as much as we can, but we need some top-down changes as well.
What can young people do to make governments declare a climate emergency?
Getting out onto the street.
Protesting.
Make your voices heard, because otherwise nothing's going to happen, and if you can't vote, you really do have to get out on the streets.
I think lots of people don't have a clear, concise opinion what they think about climate change, but it's more pressuring our governments and surrounding ourselves with like-minded people and raising awareness to the problem. I think that's making a lot of difference, obviously, worldwide.
Speak out, talk about it, as you're doing.
Yeah.
Make radio show.
Talk to your MPs.
Write letters, send the email.
Coming out, making ourselves heard, making political statements in the ways that we currently are.
Here is the climate crisis news.
Swarms of protesters are camping outside Prime Minister Scott Morrison's Kirribilli House in tents, where they say they will wait until he returns to confront the climate crisis. Activists from School Strike for Climate have also shown up at the tent city. Mr. Morrison has been criticised for taking a holiday during the bushfire crisis in New South Wales. Hashtag Where the Bloody Hell Are You and hashtag Fire Morrison have been trending. Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack, who is acting PM while Scott Morrison is overseas, said, quote, "You are wasting your time. Go and do something productive. Go and donate your time to Meals on Wheels or something like that. The fact is, the PM is having a well-deserved holiday," end quote.
To be part of the school strike movements, we also need to ask ourselves, are we going to commit to protesting? The way to create change is to create a constant increase in our numbers.
Right now, right here.
Many leaders don't want to make meaningful changes to lessen climate change. Our leaders want us school strikers to get weak and stop protesting.
Many thousands of students across the country will go on strike from school, calling for emergency action on climate change. These brave and courageous kids are joining young people around the world who are angry at the failure of governments, including yours, to secure their future from global warming. Will you meet with and listen to these kids who are demanding action from your government to keep coal in the ground?
Mr. Speaker, climate change is a very real and serious issue which demands the attention of governments. But I'll tell you what we're also committed to. Kids should go to school. That's what we're committed to. We don't support the idea of kids not going to school to participate in things that can be dealt with outside of school. We do not support our schools being turned into parliaments, Mr. Speaker. What we want is more learning in schools and less activism in schools.
Right here, right now.
We heard then from the Australian Parliament, firstly, Greens MP Adam Bandt, and then a Scott Morrison ranting against the school strike movement. Here is the climate crisis news.
Fionn Ferreira, an 18-year-old Irish teenager, has developed an ingenious methodology to remove microplastics from oceans. These microplastics generally come from various beauty products and scrubs that we use in the shower. Because they are so small, they escape water filtration systems and end up polluting waterways. Furthermore, they are extremely hard to remove from these waterways, so ultimately, marine life end up ingesting them. Ferreira used ferrofluid, which helps control vibration in speakers and seal off electronic devices from debris, to collect microplastics. This is possible because both microplastics and ferrofluid have similar properties, so they attract. When the microplastics came in contact with ferrofluids, they stuck together. Ferreira then dipped a magnet into the solution, which attracted the combined ferrofluids and microplastics. From his achievement, he won the Google Science Award.
We talked with Molly Roberts, who is a dedicated climate change activist. She participates heavily in Extinction Rebellion and school strike campaigns. Today, we discuss her role in these campaigns, some of her experiences campaigning, as well as how you guys can get involved. What campaigns are you currently involved in?
I'm a part of Extinction Rebellion Youth. We're fighting for climate and ecological justice. Right now, we are in the middle of the sixth mass extinction and we're facing a climate emergency and our politicians aren't doing anything about it. So that's why I'm involved in XR Youth, to force the government's hand into taking action for the people who are on the front lines right now and who are suffering.
So what is your role in these campaigns?
Extinction Rebellion is a non-hierarchical movement, so we actively try to mitigate power as much as possible. So that means that anyone who believes in 10 values and is acting in the interest of our three demands, then they can act under the banner of XR. As a part of School Strike for Climate, we've got organising teams across the country. Right now we're working towards solidarity sit-down for the people who are being affected by the bushfires that are burning across Australia right now. Our aims are to provide a safe space for those who are impacted by the fires and to have their voices heard. We're also calling on governments to increase support for Indigenous land management and rural fire services, and also to raise funds for the bushfire appeal and call on governments to take the climate crisis seriously to avoid further tragic impacts like these.
What are some of your experiences protesting?
I'm involved in a lot of different climate and environmental movements. All of our protests for whichever movement that I'm acting within are always peaceful and non-violent. They range from bottom-up approaches, such as growing your own vegetables or shopping locally, or also top-down approaches, which are more confronting, such as rallies and sit-ins and blockades. Some recent things have been gluing myself to things, blockading corporate criminals who are acting in the interest of money rather than our planet. And people who are less comfortable with doing such confronting or the more theatrical actions, there's always a place within the movement for everyone, such as banner painting, the arts props, organising events, hosting talks.
What do you think of the theatrical demonstrations?
I think that government incompetence to act on the climate crisis has given us no other option. The systems which govern us are broken, make civil obedience the greatest threat to our future. Governments aren't listening. We're coming out to the streets in hundreds of thousands On September 20, we had over 350,000 people all across Australia, and still the governments are allowing corporate criminals to get away with killing our planet. We don't have time left for inaction, so it becomes our moral obligation to act now and to participate in acts of civil disobedience.
What do you think of the people who say that students should stay home and not strike about climate?
I think that not enough people are listening to the science. That's why we're on the streets, to tell people to listen to the science. When over 97% of scientists have come out and declared a climate emergency, when we can see the effects of the climate crisis happening right now with the hottest recorded day in November in the last 100 years, when Venice saw its second highest tide in recorded history, we can see that the effects of the climate crisis are happening right now. And that's why we're taking action, and that's why we are striking instead of staying in school for education and a future which may not be viable in the next decade.
What do you have to say about the legal system?
I think that whilst people may have good individual experiences with cops, and while cops might be good people in real life, as soon as they put on a uniform, they have pledged to uphold a colonial racist law which has led to deaths in custody, overrepresentation of minorities in prison.
What social media pages do you recommend?
You can follow the School Strike social media pages on Instagram. We also have Twitter now, and Facebook, to stay up to date with all of the actions that are coming up and to show your support for the movement and how you can get involved. You can also follow the Jabiru Embassy socials to stay up to date with the front line there. Support is urgently needed on the front lines. If you can provide help in any way by just staying one night or going over the weekend, all support is greatly appreciated. The Jabiru Embassy is about 10 k's out of Ararat. It's currently a blockade, the longest blockade in Australian history. Right now, a bunch of lovely humans are protecting sacred Indigenous birthing trees up on Jabiru country, which are being threatened by the Victorian government and Vic Roads and major road projects, who have threatened to destroy this sacred land through the Western Highway duplication.
Here is the climate crisis news.
State-owned logging company Vic Forests is under strict laws that outline where they can and cannot cut down trees in Victoria. However, in the past, they have gone against the laws and logged in areas that are not permitted. An official investigation was conducted and laws were made stricter. However, the company's plan for the future that has gone public show plans to log in more restricted areas. The ABC website has a fantastic graphic that shows the damaged areas of land over time and the boundaries the law aims to provide. A year after the unlawful logging was discovered, no action was taken against Vic Forests. Hopefully, these new plans will be dismissed well before the damage is done, and Vic Forest is held accountable for their actions.
The Pacific Climate Warriors are also a great one to follow. The Pacific Climate Warriors are a network of youth who are standing up in the face of climate change to say that they're not drowning, they are fighting for action on the climate crisis. Youth for Climate Justice is also a great one to follow on Instagram to stay up to date with what's happening with the Australian Youth Climate Network across Australia.
Where do you think the future of environmental protests are going?
Right now, we are seeing barbaric ideas being enforced by our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, who at a mining conference recently said that He wishes to enforce laws which prevent selfish acts of boycotting of the fossil fuel industry. We've also seen a crackdown of animal rights protests, especially in Queensland. Recently, I was charged with obstructing a roadway and obstructing an officer, and my bail conditions were that I was not allowed to attend a protest which blocked a footpath or a roadway. I refused these conditions, and so I went in front of a magistrate, and the magistrate ruled that these conditions were illegal, and it just shows the corruption of our legal system and of our government. So I think that we do have a few hurdles to face within our movements. However, what we're doing is necessary to create urgent change and to catalyse the much needed action on the climate crisis.
No more coal, no more oil, keep the carbon in the soil. No more coal, no more oil, keep the carbon in the soil.
Let's hear part two now of our interview with Molly.
Can you update us on how the Jabiroong people are going?
The fight to save sacred Jabiroong land is far from over. The blockade is still ongoing. The major road projects Victoria and the Dan Andrews government are pushing forward with their plans to build the Western Highway and begin works on the second stage of the project. Right now, the embassy is calling for people to join them in the peaceful blockade of sacred Jabiroong land, of women's country, of Indigenous culture. Bodies are needed on the front line right now to stand up and say that, no, this isn't okay, and to defend sacred Indigenous land.
What other campaigns do you think are important to participate in over the summer?
Last week, Siemens signed off a contract with the Adani coal mine to supply the signalling equipment for the rail line from Adani to the Port Abbott terminal. So over the last week, many grassroots movements like Stop Adani, like Extinction Rebellion, like School Strike for Climate have been involved in protests out the front of Siemens to demand that they rip up their contract with Adani, because we know that the Adani coal mine will mean the exacerbation of the climate crisis that we are seeing right now. Almost 70% of Queensland right now is drought declared. The air quality in Sydney is beyond hazardous levels, and the air quality warnings have been issued in northern Victoria as well. 6 people have been confirmed dead from the fires, and there are still 106 fires burning in New South Wales, with 57 not yet contained. Bushfires are a part of a climate feedback loop, which means that they are an event which is fueled by climate change but also makes the initial factors worse. Over 250 million tonnes of carbon dioxide have been emitted by the bushfires, according to NASA, which is roughly 47% of our annual emissions in Australia. Adani's coal, once burnt, will create up to 4.6 billion tonnes of carbon pollution, which is why, without appropriate climate action, bushfires like these will become the new summer norm. Homes will be lost, livelihoods will be lost, biodiversity will be lost, which is why we need to stop Adani now, and which is why we should be following the Stop Adani movement over the summer.
For teens interested in XR, how can they get involved?
We have a bunch of introduction talks about the climate crisis and about XR and how to get involved. Introduction talks are for anyone who's interested in Extinction Rebellion to just come along to and get a feel for what the movement's like, how it's run, what the structure is, talk a little bit about what's happening in the world right now. And so you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date with what's happening, events coming up. The Instagram account is xr_youth_oz, and the Facebook is XR Youth Australia.
We're in the middle of a climate emergency, and we are still lending money to fossil fuel industry.
I would like you to all lie down, and we're going to do a diet.
The first arrests of the rebellion are just starting. We have two people locked on to what was the mobile stage.
How can people involved in campaigns such as XR help each other to avoid burnout?
One thing that I really like about Extinction Rebellion is our regenerative culture. So regen means that after we do an action, we take care of our well-being and we go and do some tree planting, or we have a debrief about the action. We've always got a buddy during actions to make sure that we're okay. They're checking up to make sure that we're hydrated, we've got sunscreen. And I think that's a really important part of XR and a part of our movement.
Greta Thunberg recently said that school strikes aren't having an impact on reducing emissions. How does that make you feel?
We have seen government legislation being passed and enacted upon directly because of our engagement with MPs. School strike has been monumental in raising awareness about the climate crisis and about the ecological crisis. From one teenager in Sweden to a small group of students in regional Victoria, and then a national movement across Australia, and then around the world, we have seen people come out in the millions to demand action on the climate crisis now. However, leaders worldwide aren't doing enough to combat the crisis. We've just seen at the United Nations Convention on Climate Change that world leaders have once again failed to take immediate and necessary action. So ultimately, school strikes aren't doing enough to move the government's hand to take action, because the fires are still burning and the Scott Morrison government is not doing anything about it. So, yes, actions need to be escalated because we can't afford inaction. That's not to say that we as school strikers will stop. We won't stop until we reach our demands, which are no new coal, oil or gas, 100% renewables, and funding for a just transition for fossil fuel workers and their communities. So we will not stop until we achieve those goals. And whether that means by school striking or other, we will continue to demand action on the climate crisis.
What makes you feel positive that people power can continue to grow and put pressure on governments?
We are a growing movement, and we are continuing to grow. We won't stop until we are heard, and there's no power like people power, so I am confident that we will win because we can't afford to lose. Extinction is forever, and extinction means everyone.
A lot of teens think veganism is too expensive or too hard, yet large parts of the world have eaten similar diets for ages, such as Hindus. Why do you think there's backlash to veganism?
I think that our society, Western society, is detached from the process of actually killing the animal. Instead, we go to the supermarket and buy a nice plastic packaged product and don't actually get to experience the innocent sentient being's life being taken away. So I think that a lot of people struggle to relate, or it's a lot easier to I guess, turn a blind eye to what is happening inside the meat industry and the dairy industry as much as the meat industry. People say that Australia's animal agricultural systems are the finest in the world, and yet we still have... I am vegan because I don't believe that there is a humane way to kill an animal. And in this day and age where there are alternative sources of nutrients and iron, we don't need to be killing sentient beings to survive. And I am very privileged to be able to be vegan and to be able to promote veganism, because in other cultures it is tradition, it can be their only means of survival, and that is why vegan food justice means creating a food system where plant-based foods are both accessible and affordable for everyone.
Here is the climate crisis news.
On an expedition to the Arctic, Russian scientists have found methane on the surface of the East Siberian Sea. This is the first time documented that methane has been visible to the naked eye. While methane is usually released into the atmosphere from livestock and fertilizer runoff, the methane recorded by the scientists manifested from underwater permafrost degradation. The lead scientist Igor Semilitov said, quote, "This is the most powerful seep I have ever been able to observe," end quote. This is an extremely worrying sign, as methane is about 84 times as potent at absorbing heat than carbon dioxide is. Thus, it is still an extremely dangerous greenhouse gas, even though it doesn't last as long in the atmosphere.
Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Finally today, let's hear some voices from the live rallies held nationally on November 29th.
I'm Lucas Saunders, I'm 14 and I'm a school strike organiser from the Blue Mountains.
And I'm Ambrose Hayes, also 14 and I'm a school striker from Sydney.
I'm here today because, like many of you, I have seen the effects of climate change and I am angry at the government's inaction. Who else is angry? Most of them don't know what it feels like to be a kid living in the bush, walking out of your house and only seeing the red of a fire on the horizon. These people have probably never packed their possessions into a car and driven off not knowing whether they'll see their house again. That's why we're standing here in front of Liberal Party headquarters today. They have the power to do something about this crisis, yet they're pretending that it's not happening. What do you think of that? I'm here today because our government is obligated to help its people and are doing no such thing. It's not even summer yet, and already New South Wales and Queensland are in the grips of a catastrophic fire crisis. It's already burned more than the last 3 years combined. The mining and burning of coal, oil and gas is the main driver of climate change, which is causing these record-breaking fires, droughts, heat waves and the weather conditions that are fueling them, pushing rural communities to the brink and even us here in Sydney. What do you think of that? People have died. People have lost their homes and others have had to evacuate. Indigenous leaders have been warning the governments of this spiralling bushfire crisis, but it's fallen on deaf ears. Communities are hurting, and they deserve more than our government's empty words. They deserve action on this crisis to protect them from further impacts.
And that's why we're here today, in solidarity with the people who have been affected, to support the bushfire appeal and to demand real climate action. This means increasing support for Indigenous land management, increasing support for the Rural Fire Service, taking serious and immediate action on climate change, which means no new coal, oil and gas projects, including Adani's Carmichael Mine. 100% renewable energy generation and exports by 2030, and funding for just transition and jobs for workers in the fossil fuel industry and their communities. It's time for action, not words.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Here is the climate crisis news.
The Norwegian energy giant Equinor is a step closer to being able to drill for oil in the Great Australian Bight. The decision, announced by the Federal Offshore Petroleum Regulator on the 18th of December, means Equinor has cleared the second and most important of the four regulatory hurdles it needs to pass before it can start drilling. Peter Owen, the Wilderness Society's South Australia director, said that opening up a new high-risk frontier oil field when we are hurtling towards catastrophic climate change is madness.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Cheyenne Broderick from Nimboida, New South Wales. On Friday, the 8th of November, catastrophic bushfires swept through Nimboida in a wave of destruction. It was unstoppable. We are so, so lucky in our community that everyone survived. We woke up that morning and started to finish preparing for my 18th birthday party that was planned for that night. We quickly had to cancel it due to receiving an evacuation warning text message. The fact that the sky was darkening from a grey to an orange to red reinforced the seriousness. The smoke choked the air as it had for weeks and weeks beforehand, and the huge glow coming over the hill that we could see from our back veranda kept getting bigger. Whole scorched leaves fell from the sky and ashes blew in with the wind, covering every surface. We packed some possessions, although at the time I thought it was just as a precaution. Our house wouldn't really burn down, would it? My friend Andy, who came down from Brisbane for the party, and I evacuated at 2:50. My brother was safe at school, and my parents left home at 4:30, by which time it was too dark to see without headlights on the car. They said they could just hear the roar from the fire. The scenes were apocalyptic and terrifying. There was an eerie feeling something bad was about to happen. I stayed at a friend's house in Grafton that night. I spent it trying to get in contact with people, my friends who had stayed at home in Nimboida, trying to call them to see if everyone was safe. A friend messaged me around 6 p.m. and told me their house had gone and their dad had only just made it out alive. I woke up the next morning to be informed that my house had also gone, but we were so lucky to still have the shed and the horses. The fire stormed through Glens Creek Road and Frickers Road where we live and left it stripped bare. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for so much for all your support and kindness and generosity. The overwhelming support from the community has been incredible, and we're so grateful for everything everyone is doing to help us. But Mr. Morrison, as Prime Minister, your prayers and thoughts are not enough. I want climate action. We need climate action. This is an emergency. This is a crisis. Act like it. This is the climate crisis. Prime Minister, stop ignoring those who have so much more knowledge and experience in these areas. Listen to the Indigenous leaders. Listen to the former fire commissioners. Listen to the scientists and the science. Enough is enough. Listen and act. I feel you do not fully understand the severity of these bushfires. You cannot do much to prepare for such catastrophic bushfires, such as the ones that swept through our towns. These were not normal bushfires. These were firestorms. There was virtually no opportunity for us to perform a safe full fuel reduction burn this season, as it was too hot and dry. We've been in drought for so long, which has been worsened by climate change. It's hard to understand the severity of the damage through photos. It is only when I returned home to Nimboida, almost a week after the bushfire, that I began to understand the severity of the damage and comprehend the full scale of destruction and devastation. The burnt smell is disgusting, not pleasant like campfire smoke. It lingers in your clothes and in your car days after. The bush is all burnt. All the creeks have been hammered, destroyed. They are little dry valleys of charcoal, dry creek beds, dusty with ash. Everywhere you look is charcoal. The place looks apocalyptic. As soon as you're surrounded by the devastation and scorched bush, your mood changes. I hate being out there now. It's unrecognisable. This isn't home. So, Prime Minister, I invite you to come out and visit us in Nimboida where every second or third person you meet has lost their house, and those who haven't have lost various other things or are lucky to be alive. Mr. Morrison, I worry you have the misconception that this is normal, so I implore you to speak with the firefighters who did everything they could, who will tell you they have never seen anything like this before, and then listen to the stories of those who stayed behind, and they will recount to you fireballs, ember attack, and a wall of fire over 40 metres high. There's no stopping this. And then as we stand on the bare ash earth while we are surrounded by the remains of our houses, bushland, and charred corpses of trees, then I want you to look around you and take it all in, because when you're there, there's no ignoring it. Then I want you to look me directly in the eyes and tell me these unprecedented bushfire storms are part of a normal cycle. Then I want you to tell me this is not the time to be talking about climate change.
We will rise! We will rise! We will rise! We will rise! We will rise!
Thank you for coming!
Here is the climate crisis news.
Tree planting. So where to start? It is a dilemma for many of us. Simply planting trees will not slow climate change enough, as we have reached a tipping point. We are with the main focus of pressuring governments to listen to science and focus on reducing carbon emissions, but tree planting is also a vital and healthy way to get involved. Many people are calling for more land to be given back to the indigenous peoples around the world to stem the flow of industrialization. Locally, we can support indigenous groups and also seek volunteer land care community groups who organize tree planting and other activities. Spending time and caring for our local environment gives us all a connection and will bring more of us together to voice anger over government inaction.
I don't understand why there are world leaders that are not doing anything.
Sea levels are rising, and so are we. Sea levels are rising, and so are we.
Young people can try and stand up and show that we as the next generation care enough about this issue and we want it to change.
We choose the leaders that we elect, and I think that the pressures that we put on them from the bottom will, you know, create change. I guess it's just getting out there and speaking about it.
Taking a stand, being vocal, making sure we're talking about it constantly. Especially and just like keeping the pressure on. Yeah. Push, push, push.
Yeah. Short term option would be like, I feel like we need to bring a carbon tax back. That would help.
That would really make
I don't know how to say this, but it would help like people decide, I'm not going to use my car today. If I'm not going to do something with carbon. It would provide a much...
It would restrict people from...
It would probably take down the numbers.
It is when you do reach 18, you just vote. Mm. Vote in all of your council, like your small council elections, your state, the federal. It just shows that we have a voice, especially when you're under 18 and you don't legally have a voice. You do. You show that you're interested. And this is like, it's your future. It's not theirs. It's ours.
Well, I think at the moment, I don't think we've been given much of a platform, so I think we're making our own platform.
Mm. The fact that we have the ability to protest, and like, and we are, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess like even with creating our own platform, but also supporting other environmentalists and making sure that they don't feel like what they're doing is not being noticed, and so just showing them that what they are doing is being noticed and that we support them so they keep doing what they're doing.
We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up. And change is coming, whether you like it or not. Right here, right now. Here, now. Right here, right now. Here, now. Right here, right now.
Mote oranga.
Mote oranga.
Ihe Māori ora.
Ihe Māori ora.
Te pakanga.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison doesn't like the fact that young people are skipping school to go on strikes for climate change. Morrison himself would prefer to go attend the opening of a new smart drive-thru at a McDonald's store in New York rather than go to an important climate summit at the UN. I guess he was craving a Big Mac more than he wanted to care about climate change. As young people, we need to be wary of leaders who give us empty rhetoric rather than just sticking to the facts. We are living in an age where dogma is becoming more powerful than real evidence-based research. Young people can't vote yet, so we will keep striking to get our voices heard.
As school strikers, we need to follow our own leaders, like Greta Thunberg, to follow on social media the latest news on school strike campaigns, to know what we can do in our areas.
We can continue to strike and protest in large numbers. That's where school strikers are so important. The bigger our school rallies get, they can't arrest tens and thousands of secondary students who protest against climate change. Huge numbers defy the anti-protest laws that the Morrison government is aiming for. But we can still support the rights of all people to protest by organising more regular school strikes. Thanks for listening to this summer edition of Schools Out, radio that gives voice to teens and kids involved in the school strike movement. If you're interested in contacting us, we'd love to hear from you. Our email is easy to remember, schoolsout3cr@gmail.com. That's the number 3 and then the letters CR for 3CR. We want to interview young people involved in campaigns around the climate crisis. Schools Out broadcasts on 3CR Community Radio as part of the Solidarity Breakfast Program. Thanks also to our Schools Out production crew, Alicia, Russell, David, Greta, Francis, Molly, and my dad, Peter. Finally, don't forget to keep checking your school strike campaign pages on social media. I reckon we need a new direct in 2020, and that's 20F4 or 20F4, meaning school strikes on the fourth Friday of every month during the year of 2020. Okay, thanks for listening.
Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up. And change is coming, whether you like it or not. Right here, right now, 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 right here.